What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Sometimes I forget to unmute myself. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I get so into it, and then I'm like, I'm prepping what I'm going to say, and I've got myself muted while we do the intro stuff, and then I forget to hit the button.
I just get to start the show with a very flat, you're mute.
You're muted. Maybe I'll edit that out. Maybe I won't. Maybe it's just more fun for the audience to see how the soup is made, what is the analogy I was thinking of in the pre-show?
Yeah, no, how the soup's made, how the sausage is made.
Sausage. Is that what it is? That's what it is. The start with an S. A sausage.
Yeah.
Welcome sausage back to the soup. Welcome back to the show. I'm Tom. This is Lotus. You guys know the deal. Whoa. I'm fighting a cold and my brain is not working great. And we're talking about four other Daedric creatures. We're continuing through the list. And I hope you are into these episodes. We're having a lot of fun going through all the different Daedra. And we got some new ones for you this week. This will probably be a little bit shorter of an episode. These are kind of smaller topics, all four of these. Plus, yeah. I don't know how long I'm going to last in order to get this episode out, but we didn't want to skip another one. And we've got like Thanksgiving coming up next week, which is the night that we normally record. So we're going to try and figure out if we can get another episode up, out for that.
Figure something out next week.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's the behind the scenes stuff. Lotus, welcome back to the show. I know you're a fan of Hermaeus Mora. We've got two of Hermaeus Mora's Daedra on this episode. I'm excited to get into this. Yeah, man. So here, why don't we just like kick this off? I know you've been, so before we kick this off, we just talked about the Endless Archives on the last episode. And since then, it is launched for console. I know you've
sure has.
You've been playing, I suppose?
So I haven't had too much time to play. I got to finally get my hands on it. I'm not going to lie to you. After we finish recording, I'm going to watch Thursday Night Football and actually just play Endless Archive until I probably go to bed.
That's a good idea. Putting on like football in the background while you play. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
That's my plan for after the live recording of this. But I really like it. And if you are interested in sort of like a streamlined version of seeing all of the crap we keep talking about with these monsters,
yeah,
that'll do it for you, because the swath of enemies that are in that are thrown at you in all sorts of weird order,
and dragons that yeet you off the platform. I've seen that happen to a number of people.
Very interesting. It's also very accessible for the first couple of arcs and waves and stuff like that. And in general, one thing that I've really found amusing, a lot of people have been either messaging me or I've seen it in a couple other videos and stuff like that. People are like, this actually has like a decent amount of hidden lore in it. And I'm like, it sure does. That's what we were just talking about, that this isn't just like a, hey, here's an arena. It doesn't have a story. There's actually like some really cool, like in-universe explanations for the stuff. And it's neat the way it unfolds while you're doing it, discovering secrets and stuff like that in the archive itself. I really enjoy this addition to the game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very cool. So that's part of Hermaeus Mora's Realm of Oblivion, and the first creature that we have this week is also part of Hermaeus Mora's Realm of Oblivion, the Knower's Eye. These little guys, they look like little orbs, little black gooey orbs with green light that come out of them. And as we usually do, I'm going to be quoting from the UESP, our good buddies over at the UESP, who do such a good job organizing a lot of the details about all of these games into a cohesive wiki of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can actually find all of this information.
Right, right. So go check it out if you want more details. But here, let me, I'm going to start reading. Of course, Lotus is going to chime in with some thoughts. We're going to talk about this one. Mm-hmm. The Knower's Eye, also known as the Watchful Lights and Eyes of Mora, are Daedric minions of Hermaeus Mora, native to Apocrypha, taking the form of massive floating green orbs resembling eyes. They possess the ability to captivate those who gaze upon them, much like Lotus of Doom. that doesn't actually say that. I'm going to edit this and add it into the UASP.
Perfect.
diverting the attention of nearby foes and diminishing their combat capabilities. At times, they are observed patrolling landmarks in Apocrypha and firing green beams at intruders, much like if you are the Arcanist.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, much like Lotus of Doom. Much like, yep, Lotus my special Doom. Green beam ability.
Green beams. I had those for dinner. Oh, wait, that's different.
No, that's fine. Just bulldoze right through it.
Individuals who have been granted one of the brief yet powerful blessings referred to as verses from Hermaeus Mora himself can conjure and command the Knower's Eye in combat up to a certain extent. These blessings are direct bestowals from Hermaeus Mora intended to aid and alter one's exploration of the Endless Archives, which we talked about last week. This mm-hmm. is so pertinent. It was a good thing we knocked that out before talking about this.
Making vague references to things that nobody knows about from the show. Yeah, I was going to say we managed to this is you'd think we knew what they were releasing beforehand with the way this is kind of lined up.
Yeah, you're alluding to it, but we kind of they told us the Endless Archives were coming back like
sure.
when it was like February.
I mean, if they want to tell us in advance.
Right.
We could.
But we didn't know before that. And we also didn't know what it would actually be like to play through it until we actually played through it. So we didn't actually have any foreknowledge into this.
Yeah. Again, you know where to reach us, Bethesda, if you'd like to share all this secret information. We'll weave all the shows together.
Yeah, we'll talk about it for sure. The next section says, the Eyes of Mora may evoke terror, death, and despair for some, but they also serve as vessels for storing information. Dedicated followers of Mora take care of these floating eyes, tending to them like books on a shelf. These eyes are extracted from the countless orbs that comprise Hermaeus Mora's essence. I just get this picture of like these eyes being pulled out of Hermaeus Mora himself, just like
nice wet sucking sound every time it happens.
Each eye contains a memory personally witnessed by Hermaeus Mora, reserved as a significant recollection. To access one of these stored memories, one must physically enter the eye, which typically requires a key, a passphrase, or another method of gaining access. Scholars question whether they are sentient beings or mere extensions of Hermaeus Mora. However, they agreed that the presence of consciousness does not always indicate independent will, much like Lotus of Doom. No, that joke doesn't work.
Nope, it totally works.
These entities exhibit controlled movements resembling observation and serve as a source of light within Apocrypha. These are great. These little floaty eyes that just kind of like move around. What do you think about these guys?
Yeah. So again, there's only so much you can kind of say about these things as they're incredibly new to the series for the most part. But I don't know. They're good little collection background things that you can add to make an environment type of deal, as opposed to honestly, when I first saw these, I wasn't even super aware that they were like alive.
Yeah, they look like part of like the environment, almost like moving around lights that just kind of light stuff up. But it seems like there's actually a lot more to them, that they've got
more than just being like a little glowing lava lamp. Like, but yeah, they're cool. Obviously, I like the aesthetic of them because I really, you know, I. The Cthulhu horror thing, I think, fits to the realm of Apocrypha. I think it's a really interesting setting that they have. But these are very amusing to have. I'd kind of like to see them maybe do something more with them going forward because they are super new. Like, as in prior to this year, they really didn't exist.
Some of the stuff that we get with ESO creation. Like matches the stuff that we got like in Skyrim when we went to Apocrypha in Skyrim, right?
Right.
But yeah, this one, like this doesn't show up in Skyrim. This is kind of a new addition.
Yeah, which is interesting that it didn't, like it wasn't in the Dragonborn DLC where you deal with Hermaeus Mora and stuff like that, because it could have fit there, but maybe it just was like, you know, when you're roaming around Apocrypha, it was a lot more linear when you were in Apocrypha. Right. In Skyrim right. proper.
Yeah, like the flying books and the other stuff. There's a bunch of exactly. things they added that kind of fleshed it out, you know, a little bit more. Yeah.
We'll get to another one of the creatures actually briefly that will tie into this. But like there are some creatures that you had seen in there, but they've expanded upon what you've seen from Apocrypha a lot in ESO. So you get stuff like this where it's like, oh, the Knower's Eye. Well, okay, yeah, that logically makes sense that something like this could be floating around, especially with all the weird eyes that are floating around in Apocrypha anyways and dealing with Hermaeus Mora.
Yeah, it kind of fills it out too. It's kind of fun to be in a zone and have like little things going on, whether it's people walking around, like in the Clockwork City, you've got like the automatons like doing their thing.
Sure, and the fabricants out in the wilderness and stuff like
that. Right. It's kind of nice to have other stuff. It makes a region feel alive, even if this isn't a person. It's some form of intelligence, whether it's Mora himself or they are off on their own, just doing their own things. But it's nice to have just, you know, that engagement with something else that
which is part of the environment. You get that in Overworld Tamriel and stuff like that. But when you get into the Daedric Plains, too, a lot of times it's not quite as cut and dry what's alive and sentient and what isn't as well. So, I mean, it just kind of fits the vibe, too.
Especially when it looks like a little black ball of goo with green in it and then a little shiny light.
Right,
like,
and it's glaring at you, you think, because you're terrified of it. But is it because it's creeping you out, or is it like doing its weird little eye charm thing on you?
Yeah, yeah. So let's move on to the second one. This one also from Apocrypha, the Lurker.
Yeah, this would be the one that I was referring to without jumping too far ahead, where it's like, yeah, dates back a little farther than just ESO.
Oh, dude. But
again, really common in ESO.
I love the concept art. I have it up on screen. Just a reminder, if you aren't watching us on YouTube, you can always see these videos on YouTube with some of the art and things. This Lurker. Okay, so how would you describe what a Lurker looks like to people who are just listening?
So if Swamp Thing was more of a fish.
Fish Thing.
And for anybody who doesn't know what Swamp Thing is, you're probably a lot younger than me.
Yeah, Swamp Thing.
I don't think that's... is that a comic book? I don't know. It was a cartoon when I was a kid.
It was a comic book originally. It was a comic book, a movie, a cartoon. There've been a number of Swamp Things.
I don't think Swamp Thing has been relevant for a really long time. But look up Swamp Thing and then slap a mackerel on top of it and boom, you have a Lurker.
Yeah, Creature of the Black Lagoon, I think, would be another.
Yeah.
Another, sure. Like a big fish monster, humanoid fish monster, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So here's what the UESP says. Lurkers are large Daedric creatures that come from the murky waters of Apocrypha. They appear as tall, fish-like amphibious humanoids with gaping mouths and needle-like teeth, described as towering monstrosities. They have what appears to be thick armor or thick scales lining their lower arms and legs. They serve Hermaeus Mora by guarding forbidden knowledge and are the Apocrypha Keepers alongside Seekers. As their name may suggest, they lurk beneath the roiling pools of Creatia, called Lurker Summoning Chambers, in their master's realm, and may surface if they detect trespassers. Lurkers use their legs to stamp down on trespassers and can attack from afar by spewing powerful dark tendrils from their mouths. Wonderful, right?
Yeah, no, it's very wholesome.
Very wholesome. Additionally, they can spit poisonous bile that looks like black spittle from their mouths, which travels far distances. Their slimy flesh has regenerative properties, words are hard, allowing them to heal when they are attacked as well as resist poison. They are known to have aquatic spawn. They are rarely seen beyond the plane of Apocrypha, but can manifest on Tamriel through orange magenta portals. They have this very specific color portal.
I was going to say, what a very specific color pattern to the portal.
Yeah, yeah. This is known to frequently occur when all Maker Stones are cleansed of Mirak's influence. So speaking of Mirak and Skyrim, this is a creature that dates back to that Skyrim expansion. Like we see those.
This is from
in
the game Skyrim. Elder Scrolls 5 was the first time we encountered these lurkers, because I don't think they were ever around prior to that. I've never run into them in any of the games before that. So I'm checking now. I'm almost positive.
Pretty sure they're only Skyrim and ESO.
Skyrim is, yes. Yeah.
Also,
double check that.
They're monsters you can find in Skyrim, but you can also see like carvings of their heads in some of like the tombs and locations.
So the other thing, dating back to a previous creature we dealt with, when we talked about Grummites with Shea Gorath, with their like needly little, I don't know, maw faces, but they kind of rounded, very similar type of facial structure to those things, which I find very unsettling.
Yeah. The ESO one is kind of got like a, like, okay, so here, let's look at the concept art. The concept art, big fish guy with like armor scales, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the Skyrim one, which is similar, but also has more of like a fleshy body underneath the scales. Then you get to ESO, and these guys have been working out. They've got
a little more jacked in ESO.
8-pack abs. Hey, wait, they've got two extras further to the side. What is that? 10, 12, 12 packs? They've got like 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 packs, maybe 17,
30 rack of 18, abs.
Maybe 18 abs on this thing, and multiple pectoralis muscles, or at least ripples in there. These guys, they got a glow up for real. I don't know that they're more attractive. They still appear very creepy and gross.
The other thing which ESO specifically has for them, as opposed to, I don't believe there was any version of this in Skyrim, was their spawn, like the little baby ones.
Yeah.
It's like a slaughterfish and a tadpole just in this horrible night. They look
like
a lot
an evil
more like
tadpole.
So they look more like the slaughterfish from the Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall, which I've encountered recently, where these things are so completely over the top. And it's just like, oh my God, what is this horrible nightmare eel? Like, oh my God.
nightmare eel. Yeah. Yeah. They're just like, but also a tadpole at the same time, like the little tiny tail.
But
big scary head, little tiny tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Super weird.
Unpleasant.
And I guess the aquatic thing. So one of the things that we associate Hermaeus Mora with are like the old gods and the Cthulhu-esque stuff going on with that. You think about Cthulhu, he comes out of the ocean. So water creatures, that's, I think, the connection here to the lurkers looking like big fish people in a sort of a roundabout way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So
they're very unsettling. And actually, one of the things that Kelly Cat brought up in chat, the way that they move is incredibly unsettling. It's mentioned that, oh, like, you know, they're humanoid fish things. Like, okay, so they're bipedal, but they like crawl like horror movie style, like The Ring, the thing coming out of like the well. It's like, that's the way this thing moves around until it engages with you and like stands upright.
Right. Yeah, pretty creepy. And the other thing that we can glom from this is if the worshippers of Mirak were building, I guess, structures that looked like their heads in the temples, that was during the Merithic era. These things have been around for a very long time.
Yeah, they're not a new creation.
No. Yeah, they are maybe as old as Hermaeus Mora and Apocrypha itself. We'll never know for sure, but they are very ancient creatures that have been around a long, long time. So
right.
Yeah. So there you go. That's our Apocrypha stuff. We've got two more to get to, but first we have to go thank our patrons. So let's go do that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, this is the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for supporting the show, for making this possible. Thank you for being here, and welcome to our newest patron, Red Devil or Red Evil? I'm not sure. R-E-D-E-V-I-L 387. Thank you for signing up. Why not both? The Red Devil is evil, so
say, boom, maybe. Done.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for signing up. Welcome to the Patreon. And thank you to all of our current patrons, including our Daedric Princes, Kirasi and Sheogorath's Sweet Roll. If you sign up at that level, you get shout outs every week. And if you're interested in joining us, getting one of the new t-shirts, actually four of the t-shirts, if you sign up and stick around long enough, every 3 months you get a new t-shirt or stickers or ad-free episodes, or joining us on our patron chat, which is coming up in 2 weeks on the last day of the month, the 30th. Of this month, we'll be doing our patron chat. You still have time to sign up at patreon.com/elderscrollslorecast. Go check out everything. And if you decide to help contribute to the show, we would really appreciate it. Also, Lotus, we got a new review. This one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. This one comes from AbbyB17 in the United States, who writes, this one's short and sweet. Love the knowledge and enthusiasm. Love hearing you guys talk about Elder Scrolls. Comfy vibes. Always a nice break from reality.
I'm glad.
That's awesome. Unless you happen to live in the Elder Scrolls world, in Tamriel or wherever.
Yeah, then nothing's comfy and everything is hell.
Yeah, so I guess it's a good thing that we get to have breaks from reality and we get to go there instead of the other way around. So when
their break from reality is thinking about our world.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, do you think there's an equivalent like Tom and Lotus in Elder Scrolls that like tell lore stories about this made up world of Earth with like
and they're
modern
just like,
things?
Just like, oh man, imagine being trapped in a loop. We record a podcast every week. For them, that's a nightmare.
Can you imagine having to ride around in metal vehicles that burn the remnants of dinosaurs? That's weird. It's so weird. But thank you for your support. Thank you for leaving the review. And if you'd like to leave a 5-star review in the future, we'll read it out. Also, you can rate the show on Spotify, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. You can share it with your friends, all of that stuff. All of it helps. So thank you for the support. We couldn't do it without all of you. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, moving on from Apocrypha, we're talking about some of Meridia's Daedra.
Going back to the whole Auroran thing, but not Aurorans.
Not Aurorans. Similar. He's got like the
super
gold
similar,
in the
but
armor.
A little more jacked up.
Yeah. So here, check this out. These are the Meridian Guards, also referred to as Temple Guardians or simply Guardians. They are servants of Meridia. They take the form of an Auroran suit of armor with 2 or 4 arms and blades. So maybe they fill the remnants of what used to be living Aurorans armor pieces?
Maybe, or it's just like Aurorans on HGH? Like
maybe they like, I don't know, powered up to like power level 9,000? Like,
yeah, they say boom, there you go. Yeah. They are very gold.
They are very golden, like a good old Super Saiyan. in certain circumstances, the Purified may be turned into Meridian Guards, though the nature of transformed Guardians is different from those who are proper Daedra. So a little bit weird. They wield powers of ice, lightning, fire, and light, and command Aurorans in battle. They are more powerful in the colored rooms and can transport people there against their will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't seem very nice. They are considered to be of little concern to the Dromora, who don't seem to worry about them, I guess. usually things like that are pulled from like bits of dialogue and quest chains and that kind of thing. There's some history about them. One of the known Meridian guards, Iritan the Lightbringer, protected the Shrine of the Reforged, a temple of Meridia in Palatine, found west of Senchal. This is reference to the Elsewhere expansion in ESO, if I'm correct about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So locals claimed that the guardians served as the sentry for the temple as long as it existed. Khajiit tales spoke of a Meridian cultist growing the temple out of light, but the validity of their stories is questionable, as many Khajiit stories are questionable. The guardian of the temple has plagued unwary travelers for a long time. As of the second era, 582, so ESO's time frame,
yep,
the temple was abandoned. Circa that same year, the Shields of Senchal tasked adventurers with defeating the Guardian. They were also asked to retrieve the notes of a scholar it killed, collect temple dust with special properties that can be revealed, that can reveal the past through visions, and retrieve some of the Shield's arrows from within the temple. So this is the details of the quest line.
Sure.
It goes on, it talks a little bit more about an undaunted quest and some of the other, yep, things. And like many of these creatures, you experience them in dungeons and, you know,
right,
that kind
of
stuff.
Right, I was going to say, you experience this by going through the, you know, four-player dungeon stuff.
Right. So what do you think about these guys? Like 2 to 4 arms, lots of weapons. They're kind of floaty. They don't really have legs, but they've got, yeah, like the torso armor and helmet.
They're almost more living suits of armor than the Aurorans. Like,
yeah.
And already, yeah, the Aurorans are kind of like hollow shells because they don't really have free thought and stuff like that. And this thing is like this thing seems like a less sentient version of that. Like they still exist.
And yet they still have control over the Aurorans.
Right. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, they're one of those things where it's just kind of their directive and very little else, which tends to be a theme with Meridia's stuff. But they're pretty cool. They almost, in some ways, they kind of almost look like a type of Atronach. Because there's so many different types of Atronachs. And when you have like the air Atronachs or the storm Atronachs, they're kind of like these components that are floating, held together by whatever the element is. And these ones almost like if there was such a thing as like a sun or a light Atronach.
Well, Meridia's light is, it feels like it's Meridia's power itself that is kind of like.
Exactly. But it's like they can have a whole bunch of different elements under their control and stuff like that, but it's just like very like similar crossover, which almost makes me wonder, it's like, okay, well, was this her take on like what she wanted for an Atronach? Because some of them tend to stick with certain Daedric Princes, but they kind of they're almost like elemental mercenaries for hire a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wanted her own Atronach.
Right. Now there's some other details here. The actual name Meridian Guardian is kind of a placeholder. It's not an official title, and we know this because the previous lore master, Leman Tuttle, super awesome dude, had an opportunity to talk with him a few times, and very, very cool guy. He used the nickname Meridia Mincers instead of Meridian Guardian in a conversation that has been documented, but that's not actually their name. That was just kind of a joke nickname that he came up with. But I guess we don't know what their actual designation is. We just call them Meridian Guardians. It's very generic.
Right. My guess is, I mean, not that I remember every line of dialogue from these games, but like, I guess I'm not really sure that the game has ever specifically said the name of one of these things.
Right. You know, I mean, it's a title. They work for Meridia and they're guardians. So that's what we call them.
Right. And the ones that you fight, usually it's the name of it.
Yeah.
It's not like a generic Meridian Guardian, like you, like Dromora Churl or
Iritan
like that.
The Lightbringer. We know
exactly,
but we don't know what name. Iritan is.
Right. So it's like,
right.
Right. There's its name and there's its title. You don't get a direct description. The only thing that I could wonder is, if you looked at the code, what do they show up as?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's really my only guess is like, I wonder if anybody's thought to do that or if you even can do that, because unlike a single player game, you can only data mine so much, and it is possible in some ways, but it's like, I wonder if, or is it literally, are they each individualized and is the name there too? Like maybe it's just the same thing.
Yeah, I wonder if any of the data miners are listening to the show. If you're if you're a data miner, you're listening to the show and you want to go investigate this for us.
What's the code number to one of these things? Because it's actually not documented here from what I can see. So it makes me curious. I wonder if they are each of them documented by their own creature? Like is it named? Or does it have a flat like value? This is super like fourth wall breaking thing. Like what would be the value of the creature? Like, does it have an actual just assigned value to the creature type?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess, well, if you know, let us know. Yeah, otherwise,
if anybody is adept at anything like that, or any of the devs that might listen have any deep knowledge as to that they would like to share with us, please feel free. Let us know.
Yeah, yeah. There's only two we actually know the names of. The Symphony of Blades, which was originally King Nirilmor, and then Iritan the Lightbringer. Those are the two that we know the names of.
Those are the only two we really... You know what, though?
What?
Uh-oh. Now it makes me curious.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if there's one you can bump into generically in the archives.
But won't it have the name, though?
Well, that's the thing. Would it literally be the boss, or might there be a generic? I don't know. Now I'm curious.
I don't know. I have a feeling it will only be the bosses, because the bosses... Right,
like, will it be...
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's a good question.
Would it pull specifically one of those two? Because, I mean, the mechanics to them are similar, but they're not the same between those two bosses.
Right.
Because one's a world boss, one's a dungeon boss.
Right. Well, if you've run into these mechanics in the Endless Archives, let us know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep my eyes peeled for that now. Anyways, speculation aside, just a little interesting tangent for that creature specifically.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to our last one. This one's a very small entry. The Mind Terror. These are, I'm sure if people don't like spiders, then they're not going to enjoy this guy. The Mind Terrors, also known as Walking Nightmares, are powerful Daedra that serve Vermina. They are said to be made of warped dreams incarnate, some being said to be the dreams of the Daedric Prince made manifest. They have insectoid legs and eyeless skulls. They're only found in ESO. What's a better description for people who aren't watching the video? Like, four pointy...
It's
like spider legs, two human arms.
The movie Alien, what are those things called? Xenomorph.
Xenomorph,
Xenomorph and Slenderman.
Xenomorph, Slenderman, spider thing.
Yep. these things are interesting that they don't have more to them, but it's because they are super new to the series. They're these... Essentially, they're not even... Like, again, they're obviously Daedra creatures, but they're... Essentially, when you encounter them in Apocrypha, which at first things thought you'd be like, okay, well, the Himaeus Moras, but they're not, like we said, they're Vermina. Mm-hmm. So, like, the interesting thing about these is they're so new and they kind of seem misplaced when you first encounter them.
Right, right.
So, I'm wondering if we will get more on these later. But these things are just like super new to the series. They're just very unsettling. They have that very strange animation, which you get in horror movies a lot of times, where it's like it will move really creepy, but then it quickly moves along. And it's almost like it goes so fast. It does that stutter thing where it's almost like frames are missing.
Yeah. Yeah. They use that in like the Witcher TV show where thing will all of a sudden like glitch out almost. And then all of a sudden it moves more quickly than what you would expect. And it's just like, exactly. Oh God, why are you over there now? Yeah.
Right. You get a lot of that with these things. mm-hmm. They're very unfluid movement. It's very herky jerky type of thing. With the way they move, they're very spindly. You actually fight a decent amount of them throughout Apocrypha. And actually on the Telvanni Peninsula itself, but like there's semi smaller ones and then mainly they seem very large. Like the smaller ones are pretty decently sized and then they get really big.
Yeah. The legs are real long and spindly and even the skull part, like it's a head, it's kind of a slightly elongated head with a big jaw and then big horns that come out.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about this, because we've kind of made reference to this a couple times going through some of these things, some of these creatures seem like they're a little more constructed for the purpose of an MMO style enemy. Right. And to fodder. Try to just describe it, you kind of like, there's different ways enemies react sometimes. And MMOs, you need a lot more just fodder to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like these things would actually be really cool in one of the single player games.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
I remember
we did the episode a few episodes ago about how the next Elder Scrolls game needs to be M-rated. Can you imagine coming across one of these things and like the limbs breaking at the joints if you're swinging your sword?
Sure.
And then it like, still keeps coming for you, even but it's like limping along.
Limit its mobility by trying to cut off parts of it. It's like
and it's Vermina, like so space. Maybe it's like spewing out like filth or like poison or something out of the limbs.
Now that I said that in a reference to breaking parts off it, this seems like a Dead Space enemy, if anybody has any reference to the Dead Space game. Very, very like that seems like a very similar style of movement.
Right. And the humanoid like that's been kind of stretched out, like the body has been stretched and it's got weird arms and legs. Yeah.
Right. Ooh. These things are I think these are a really good enemy, and I actually hope they don't leave it as just kind of a like one-off enemy, since this is the first one the first time we've ever really encountered them. I feel like these enemies specifically have a lot of potential that could work pretty well with the rest of the series, especially we don't deal with Vermina as much as many of the other Daedric Princes.
I think the next Elder Scrolls game is a wonderful opportunity to pull some of the Daedric Princes that we don't get as often.
Yeah, tackle some of the lesser involved ones.
Yes, and then with creatures like this that we haven't seen, so that it feels like, we're fighting imps again. Okay, we're fighting imps. Okay, we're fighting, we're fighting Dremora again. We're fighting Dremora. Like, whatever. Like, pull in some of these creatures that were, like, designed for ESO, but now upgrade them for like mainline Elder Scrolls.
Let them have some legs because this thing has plenty of them.
Give them some legs because this one. Yeah. All right. Well, that's on that note, we're wrapping up this episode. Thank you for being here. And I hope you're still enjoying these creature episodes. We've got a few more still to get through.
We're getting there. We're getting closer to the end, but we've still got a decent amount because spoilers, the bestiary in this game, just in the Daedric realm, is absolutely enormous.
Yeah, it's pretty big. So that's part of why we're also grouping them into like groups of four and
We'd never finish if we did the one at a time.
Yeah,
not only those episodes would also be like comically short at that point,
or we'd have to dig into like more details about like, they're in this dungeon and this is what you do in the dungeon.
Yeah, but which that's
that feels more like a specific episode about a dungeon.
Sure. So yeah, we don't need to read you. Well, that's the thing. You can certainly read the wiki yourself. We're trying to give an overview of it with the information from the wikis.
And some insight, the things that don't get noted there. Like, they showed up here or whatever, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, that's why it's like I've had fun going into some of these because some of these things I actually didn't realize how much was involved with a few of them that are kind of just, I considered a little more throwaway enemies, or I didn't really put much thought into it. Actually, sort of like the Guardians we just went over when I was looking up the stuff for this one. I was like, actually, we do only fight two of these things. And I guess there's more reason that they look sort of like Aurorans than I realized. Like, all right, fair.
It's so easy to just play through ESO and just be like, all right, more bad guys, just fight these.
Yeah.
More bad guys. These ones fly. Let's fight them. These ones are creepier. Let's kill them. You know, like.
Exactly.
Without actually
12,000 of content. I mean, sometimes you can get a little overwhelmed.
True. All right, Lotus, well, let's wrap it up. You got anything else you want to share before we head out?
So we just actually got a new episode of Tales. We'll be having another one hopefully this weekend pretty soon, where we will be actually having Dave join us, the founder of the UESP, once again, to kind of do our year wrap up from the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages. We like to give a review for everybody and kind of give an update going into the new year as we're starting to wind down toward the end of 2023. However, the other reason, which we will announce, I can announce here now, we just announced it on Tales, is we've kind of got our Extra Life weekend nailed down for the most part.
Yeah.
When we'll be doing it that weekend. And then basically between me, you, and Ark, we're just going to try to keep things live as much as possible so people can hang out with us.
Right. First weekend of December, right?
It is the first weekend of December. So December 2nd and 3rd, we will be going live. I have booked myself starting Eastern Standard Time. I specifically have my chunk of time from 6 a.m. Eastern Time until 2 a.m. the following morning.
Oh, my God.
So that will be a 20-hour stream for me. where we will be raising money for Extra Life and the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. So it all goes to a great cause. We are going to be having some fun prizes. We're still actually finding out information on more stuff to give away, but we will be giving away, now that gifting is re-enabled, we will be giving away Crown Crate packs because we can gift. Like, that works again.
Yeah.
And Ark was saying he's got tons of crowns, so he's like, hey, let's gift stuff. So we're going to work on a method for giving those out. I actually have, I believe, I've got at least $100 gift card to the Bethesda Gear Store that we're going to give away at a milestone. We're working on some codes. We are, the big thing, which Dave will have details on in this episode of Tales of Tamriel, will be much like last year, as a huge thanks from the UESP on, you know, all the support you give. We'll be giving away Patreon tier rewards as we hit milestones of money raised for the charity as well, which last year, some of these prizes, if you've never looked at the UESP Patreon as well, some of the prizes are real cool. Like, I love our shirts and stuff like that. They do a good thing too. Like, some of the tier rewards, I'm not creative in this regard. You and Dave are really good at coming up with some of this stuff. So we've got some of those to give away as well. And we'll just kind of keep filling stuff out as we go. But it should be a really, really fun time. Even if you can't donate, which is totally understandable, come hang out with us. You'd be surprised how much it helps keep us awake. And by bumping our numbers up, normally, you know, I always joke that I don't really care about numbers as long as people are enjoying themselves. The more people watch this, the more likely it is to have somebody stumble in and try to like also help a good cause. So
it's all for raising money. Like, this is exactly. This is a lot of work, and you know, yeah, it's fun to play games, but it's all about raising money for a good cause.
Yes, and yeah. I always joke that it's super fun to play games until you hit 16 straight hours of playing games, and then spoiler alert. People like watching my struggle busing when I play some of the classic Elder Scrolls games. Mm-hmm. It gets way more tragic in whatever I'm playing. Once I pass hour 16 in a marathon, the tragedy level goes real high as my skill goes real down.
Oof, yeah. Maybe I'll try some Skyrim VR. I don't know how long I can do that before I start feeling sick, but maybe that'll be entertaining too. We'll find out.
So we'll keep you guys updated as we fill it out. But yes,
yeah.
Check it out. December 2nd will be kicking things off, and that weekend will just be fun and Elder Scrolls games for a great cause.
Yeah, make sure you're following us either on the Discord, on our what used to be Twitter accounts, or on our actual Twitch stream. So Lotus of Doom on Twitch, Robots Radio on Twitch. All of those are great places to be if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of that stuff. And we'll keep you posted. It's still a few weeks away. So
exactly. We got some time. We figured now it's good to start letting people know so that the odds that people can hear about it, you know, that's the best way we can do to advertise and get eyes on it, because this is this will actually be my 11th year doing Extra
that's
Life.
Crazy. That's so cool. That's so cool.
Wild to think about.
That's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad I can be a part of it this year.
I'm so glad to have you join. Like, it'll be fun.
I've been playing with some Skyrim mods. There are some mods that allow you to pick people up and stuff. I've talked about this before. You pick people up and you can move them around. I'm wondering if you can go with me here. Maybe I'll discover this on stream. I'm wondering if you can pick up children and wield them as weapons.
I totally bet you
like,
can.
Like, is it possible to beat Skyrim by you beating everybody up wielding children?
I was going to say, literally weapon. Use the cause to save Tamriel.
Yeah, like, it's okay, little Billy. We're taking out the big bad monsters. I'm just going to swing you around. Yeah, I know, right? They're invincible, so they don't actually get hurt. But
I would assume that the physics to that would do damage from like fall damage.
Yeah, so I've looked into it. There are some mods and you can adjust some of the settings for like impact damage and things like that. So
amazing.
It might be possible. I'm not 100% sure, but it might be possible to beat everyone up by just flailing somebody around. Now, do they despawn when you go through like, you know, the entrance to a dungeon or something? Maybe. So maybe that's impossible. But maybe you just pick up other enemies and just hit enemies with other enemies.
Swinging enemies around.
That might be It might be amazing.
Physics in these games are great.
We'll have to find out. But yeah, thank you for joining us. Of course, you can follow my stuff, robotsradio.net, for all the different Lorecast shows I do, a bunch of Bethesda shows like, you know, this show, Fallout, Starfield, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, Mass Effect Lorecast, a bunch of us, other stuff you can get from other creators and all sorts of things. So thank you for being here. And I hope you all have a wonderful holiday. If you don't hear from us before then, we're going to try and squeeze in an episode next week.
Yeah, sometime. We'll see if we can get it out before Thanksgiving as opposed to right after Thanksgiving. But
yeah,
we should have something next week. Well, hopefully it'll just be before Thanksgiving.
Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll just do
American
a funny
Thanksgiving,
a funny little show about nothing. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But thanks for being here.
Maybe I'm missing that, but I don't think there's a Thanksgiving based holiday.
In other countries?
In Tamriel.
Oh, in Tamriel. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
No, because I know Canadian Thanksgiving happens in October or something.
Yeah, it's earlier. It's earlier. Yeah. And then
not like, a universal
other
thing.
Countries will have like fall festival type
right.
events.
Yeah, harvest like or harvest. Something like that.
Yeah, things like that. But all right. Well, we got to go. Either thanks. Way. Thanks for being here, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Stay safe out there. And if you see big Daedric monsters, hit them with children. All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.